afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really grateful you tuned in today. Such an important show we have ahead here. You know, they say it's the most wonderful time of the year, and it can be. But for those who suffer or struggle or who are grieving a significant loss, the holidays can feel just impossibly hard. And so how do you deal with a stark contrast of the joyous season when your heart feels anything but joyous? Or maybe you're in a season of favor, but you love someone who's walking through a difficult time. How can you best encourage them? Well, my guest today is my friend Bo Stern, and she joins me to share about her beautiful book, When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hope Amid Pain and Loss. It's this hardcover beautiful book, just so rich in wisdom. We've got 3 copies. I wish we had 100 copies because it's just, to me, a work of art. And I know many, many people need encouragement this season. But we've got 3 to give away. So email if you want in on the drawing. LiveThePromise@MyFaithRadio.com. Quick announcement before we hear from Bo. We've got the great giveaway. We're in right now, full swing here, praying and hoping to mobilize thousands of you to engage in random acts of kindness this holiday season. I just want to know, are you with me on this? And it would help me so much if you just emailed me. My sister actually texted me last hour and she said, I'm in. So I know it's her and me. But how about you? Love to know what if you're just willing to do this, where we're going to step out and engage in random acts of kindness. And on Thursday, December 21st, I'll devote the whole show to your calls. Just hear from you about just your story, what happened, what you did. You can call anonymously. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy and a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. And then 2 of you will get these great giveaway gift baskets filled with all kinds of goodies. Value about $100 per basket. Just really is our way of saying thank you so much for reaching the lost and the needy this season. So, but because we're doing it a little bit different this year, I really have no idea if anybody's joining me. So it would make me so happy if you just email me like my sister and say, hey, I'm in. I'm doing this. You don't have to even tell me what you're doing just yet. But will you be praying and keep your eyes open to the needs around you? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Bo Stern's a sought-after speaker, writer, and teaching pastor at Westside Church in Bend, Oregon. She's a mom to 4 kids, 2 grand boys, and an advocate for families dealing with ALS, a disease that took her husband's life in 2015. She's author of Beautiful Battlefields, Ruthless, Knowing the God Who Fights for You, and When Holidays Hurt. And I'll just say all 3 of those books are just beautiful and amazing. Dear Bo, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's so good to be with you again.
Always good to have you as well, Bo. And before we dig into the content of this really beautiful book, love to know, just because we ask our guests every day, is there a passage of scripture you've been thinking about these days?
Oh, goodness. It's so funny because people who follow me on Facebook know I can't shut up about this verse right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, I mean, everyone knows it, but it's just because of some circumstances in my life, it landed. And because of, I think, where our world is right now. And it's just Philippians 4:8. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on those things. And it has been life to me. And I think, you know, the verse before it is, and the peace of God will keep you. And I think that thinking like that has just kept peace in my heart and in my sleep and in my plans and in my future. And it's just been so good for me recently.
Very good. That's why we asked. That's just great. So you opened the book by saying that you really loved your first 45 Christmases. They weren't perfect, but they weren't painful either. Say more about that.
Yeah, I had such an idyllic childhood, and Christmas was always amazing and wonderful. And then, you know, you become a mom, and Christmas is sort of up to you, and you feel the weight of everyone's expectations, and that makes it gives it a little more gravity and maybe a little less miraculous wonder. But the first 45 years were really good. They were good Christmas. I was always one of those people who loved it and didn't dread it, and so those were good holidays for me.
And then things changed for you. Would you tell us a little bit about your backstory for those who didn't hear our other interviews?
Yeah, in September of 2010, my husband had been experiencing just some general strange symptoms, and we didn't think much of it. He was misdiagnosed a couple of times along the way, but then in September of that year, we landed at a neurologist's office and found out that he was most likely looking at a diagnosis of ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. 100% fatal, has a life expectancy of 2 to 5 years, and a really difficult process as all the muscles die around the person until only their eyes and brain function. So Christmas of 2010, I entered into that one realizing not just this is going to be a hard Christmas, but every Christmas from now on is not going to look like any Christmas before it. And when, I mean, it was really interesting because even like the jingles would come on or the commercial jingles would come on, and it just sounded like clanging in my head. Like I couldn't get my head around what I was supposed to do with Christmas with so much sorrow and uncertainty and how will we survive this.
How was Steve at that time? I mean, he was dealing with the diagnosis. He's the husband and the father in your family. How did he process that incredible news?
It was really painful, and he tried to kind of internalize and take it to Jesus and not be too demonstrative with it, with us. He knew we were all trying to figure it out as we went, and we at that time weren't telling many people. Our older children knew, but our youngest did not. He was only 10 at the time, and so we really wanted to wait until we really knew for sure, and it would take 5 months before we got the final diagnosis. So we were holding this information that was so life-changing and couldn't really talk about it, but we knew it was probably going to be true. So he really went deep during that time. He really did. He traveled a lot for his work, and he was already starting to – that was becoming prohibitive. He was just exhausted all the time. And so he was trying to kind of put his head down and get through it, I think, and talking with a couple good friends of his and the stuff he felt like he couldn't just dump out on me.
You know, I'm thinking of that time you write in the book about how you're sitting in that office and then even at your office at home, it was like Goliath was breathing down your neck going, this will be the end of you. This will ruin your kids' faith. There will be no recovering from this. And you, again, look at the contrast of these commercials and gifts and even some of the demanding and entitlement we see in the holiday season, while you've got the enemy breathing down your neck, threatening to steal the most precious things to you. That, I mean, not only the fear of what your hubby was about to go through, but the impact on your family. Tell me how you navigated that, because some people are already grieving. They've already lost somebody, but others are fearing. They're at their toes or at the edges of what they know is going to be a storm, and it feels like it will swallow them whole. How did you find your footing there?
Well, I first did it the wrong way. At least it was the wrong way for me. I decided I am going to lean in so hard at Christmas, and I'm going to make it the best Christmas anyone in this house has ever had. I thought I could muscle my way through it. And the first thing I did was I took my two kids to get a Christmas tree, which had always been my husband's job, and he wasn't able to lift anything at that point. And I just thought, nope, it's really good. We can do this, and it will feel good to us to know that we can do it. But it was just, it was too soon, and I was so miserable, and it was so hard and emotional and heavy, and it ended up, both Steve and I ended up in a big fight over it. It was awful. And I remember thinking, I can't do it. I can't fake my way through this Christmas. I can't carry all of this and the future, too. And so I had to then change my strategy. And I just woke up one morning and I sat by the light of my tree and I read the Christmas story in every gospel that has it. And just even including John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I just thought, this Christmas story is for me. The Target commercial Christmas maybe is not for me. I might be disqualified from that one, but I am not disqualified from this one. These are broken people who are living out a difficult story. This is not perfect. This is not even beautiful on the surface, but there are beautiful things happening underneath. So I decided I was just going to lean in every day to the Christmas story. So every day of that whole Christmas season, I read either something prophetic from Isaiah or something that prophesied the birth of Jesus or something that actually told the account of the birth of Jesus. And then I read it in every translation, and I looked at it in the Greek and Hebrew, and I just tried to find my place inside of that story.
And that's really what the story is. That's the story that gets lost, especially, I would say, in seasons of favor when all is merry and bright. That's the story that gets upstaged, you know, by all of the shallow stuff. I mean, and it is fun to buy presents. It is fun to bake cookies. But that's meaningless if you miss the true story. And you were in such a desperate place. You're boiled down to really finding the Christ of Christmas. How did he meet you in that place?
Well, it was an interesting time for me. And I think, too, because we've said it so much, he's the reason for the season. And I just remember him coming back to me and saying, you're the reason for the season. You're the reason that I came. You're the reason that I came here to bring wholeness to your life, even in the areas that you didn't know would break. And so understanding my place in his heart, and I'm going to tell you, it was a self-centered Christmas. It was a time where I had to survive. And so finding his thoughts toward me and toward Steve and toward my children was really this incredible, miraculous thing as we led into this brand new season of our lives. And it helped carry me through the five-year battle with ALS, or 5 years with ALS. And then, you know, I've been a widow 2.5 years, and this will be my third Christmas without Steve. And just, I go back to it every time. This is all about this. This is all about this story. This is all about the God who came to make the broken whole. And it is beautiful. And the only thing about Christmas that's irrefutable, it's the only thing that doesn't change from year to year. And I love it when I love Christmas this year. I love it. I'm all about all the glitzy stuff. But this part doesn't move.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Talking to Bo Stern, her beautiful book is titled When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. I just, like I said, know so many people who could use this book, but we do have 3 copies, so email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put When Holidays Hurt in the subject line. Don't forget that mailing address. And when we come back, Bo will tell a little bit more about her story, about Steve, and just those remaining days, his passing, and how she's doing now. Then we'll read some excerpts from this beautiful book and just offer some encouraging advice if you're in that place and your holidays hurt. This season will pass, it will, but in the midst of it, God is with you. So don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Favorite Christmas songs, and it makes me cry every time. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. That song is called Bleak Midwinter, if you need to hear that. Talking to Bo Stern today, her beautiful book is titled When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. And she says, basically, we have 3 options, especially when you're grieving in the holiday season. Ignore it, fake it, or rescue it. We're going to talk about how Bo learned to rescue the holidays. Before the break, she talked about just her husband's, that first year husband's diagnosis with ALS, and he lived for 5 years. What were those Christmases like? Because I know things started to change in your house. In fact, you wrote about your fear for Josiah, your son. You had daughters. You were raised in a girl home. You knew the importance of having a man in the home, and you were worried about this boy of yours, given the loss of your husband. But you saw God do something deep in him. Talk about that.
Yeah, I really, and it's cool to talk about this now, this many years later, because I see that work kind of full steam ahead in his life now, as he's turning 18 next month. And just, I saw God meet him in the deepest places there, in the places of compassion, in the places where he was able to step in and help care for his dad when he needed it. Steve's progression was really typical for ALS, if there is a typical. And so first Christmas, he couldn't get the tree. Second Christmas, we had to feed him ourselves. The next Christmas, he had a feeding tube. The next Christmas, he went on hospice. And he would have another really difficult 6 months at that time. And that was probably the most difficult Christmas, where he sat on the sidelines of everything in his wheelchair, really miserable, and just tried so hard to be a part of what was happening. And we tried to have a normal Christmas without making him feel left out or like he needed to be in the mix of it. It was just a lot of emotional dancing and really, really hard. But I saw God meet all of my children in really specific ways.
How are you now, and how are they now?
Oh, goodness. I'm so good. I just thought this the other day. When people ask me how I am right now, I want to say I'm so happy, but I always hold back a little bit because you have that thing of like, maybe I should hedge my bets a little. And I know that's not the voice of faith. I get that, but it's just where you end up, you know. But I'm really, really happy. I spent a month in Italy in September and was able to just get away and regroup and refocus and kind of look at what I want the second half of my life to be. And my kids, all of them were able to come and meet me there. Each of them came different times for a week or a few days. And so everyone's doing really well. And everyone remembers with great pain and beauty the Christmases that were really difficult. We talk about it every year. We talk about how, wow, that was hard, but we're glad we did it. And we're glad that we're through to the other side of it. And we're glad that Steve is so happy and living out the perfect Christmas where he is.
Mm. And forgive me if this is too intrusive, so just say you don't want to answer it if you don't want to, but do you see yourself getting married again, or is that something you can't even think about?
Oh, no. I mean, perhaps. I am in a committed relationship now that's really been lovely and a gift, and just kind of trying to figure out what's next there. But that's been really just, again, such a surprise and such a beautiful gift. And that's been a gift to my family as well. That's been something that everyone's been able to kind of feel like we have this person who's kind of wonderful. And he has 6 kids, so we have 10 kids between us. So Nothing's easy, but it's all really loud and wonderful.
Were you afraid to love again? I mean, how did you know that it was time to take that next step?
I'm really afraid to lose again. That's more it. I mean, if you could promise me that I could love someone and never lose them, that'd be cool. I'd really love that. But so that was my fear. And what happened was I started communicating with this old friend of mine from college, and we ended up just talking every day for a long, long time. And I never felt ready to date again. I never made the conscious decision. I just really found myself in a place with him where I thought I don't want to lose this. This is something I want to kind of see where it goes. And so it was more a decision about him and not about the overall idea of dating. But so we've been together 14 months.
Okay.
And it's been just really wonderful and terrifying and all of the things, you know?
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate that. Well, at the end of each chapter, you offer just the reader some advice or try this kind of a thing to bring perspective. And this one is so good. You said, today when the sun goes down, take a candle and a match into a dark room. Sit in the darkness for a few moments. There in the deep blue evening, consider the difficult things you're facing this Christmas. Now light the candle and look at the way the room changes. What can you see that you couldn't see before? How does the flame flicker through the blackness that used to own the room? Yeah. This would be a good time to start a journal where you can write down the ways you see God's light invade your darkness. We got about 4.5 minutes to our break, but this is something you were very intentional about because you said, you know, you couldn't really hit the mark of these commercials. In fact, you couldn't relate to them because your heart was grieving. When you pressed into the Lord and the true Christmas story, his light did start to shine in your darkness. What are some of the things he spoke to you during that time?
That is actually something I still do with the candle. When I feel discouraged and I feel like I can't see straight or whatever, I will still do that very thing because there's just something so significant about it to me. And in that time, the biggest things that I heard from God that will always mark me is that you can't avoid going through this, but you don't have to be alone. I won't leave you alone for even a minute. And I can say that that was true, and that he had already been into the situation that I would face, and he had already made provision for me there. Even if I couldn't see it, I run into it when I ran into that situation. And I really have. I've had a daughter get married since then, and I couldn't imagine being at my daughter's wedding without my husband. And I did it, and I made it, and Jesus had gone ahead and made provision. And so he was so faithful during that time. And the things he spoke in the darkness there are the most precious things I hold on to now.
Wow. You wrote this, I suspect we often get so buried beneath the weight of what we're trying to create at Christmas that we miss the joy of what he's already created. His gift of salvation is free, and it's finished. Wondered if you maybe speak to that person who's trying to walk in both worlds. Their heart is breaking, but they feel this obligation to people around them to pull off something. What advice would you have?
Well, I wish my advice could be you don't have to do anything. But sometimes when you have little kids, that's not really true. Sometimes you really do have to do something. So get help with the things that you can't get out of. Get help with them. It's hard to carry all of that stuff. But do be mindful of the things you can let go of so that you can focus on the things that are real and true and can't be moved.
Mm. You start to look at all the different aspects of Jesus' character in the book, and you call Jesus our amazing counselor, as Scripture does. And with all the decisions you were forced to make during Steve's illness and even after, how did he show up as the amazing counselor, as a wife with a very sick husband and as a widow trying to figure out life without him?
Oh, so many ways, just so many decisions where I've been like, again, in the dark, and it's been like one of those movies where red wire, blue wire, which one do I cut?
Yeah.
One saves the day and one blows up the whole planet. And just his voice has just been really faithful through people who I've set in my life to be accountable to. And then just through his Holy Spirit, where he speaks through his word or he speaks to my heart or speaks through a dream. And it's just so lovely how he comes. Not always, it doesn't always feel on time, but it's so far always happened. 52 years into this life, it's so far always happened.
That's so good. So before we go out to break, I'm going to read an excerpt from Bo's book from that particular chapter, just because I think maybe you needed to hear it today. Yeah, she writes this: I can testify to the greatness of this gift. Into the daunting decisions of my most confusing Christmas came the wonderful counselor. He rode in like a knight on a white horse, and he answered so many of the questions I was facing. And to those that remain unanswered, he gave the promise of his presence and the assurance that the answers would come when I needed them most. Now, years later, I can tell you that he's still the great advisor I need when my wisdom is too weak for the war I face. He comes through his word, with his presence, and through the people around me. He comes as I worship. He comes as I cry in my car because I can't find my shopping list and I don't know how I'll ever survive the toy aisle without it. He comes. He breathes life and hope. And he reminds me that not every decision is a game changer. Oh, how thankful I am for the brilliant gift of our amazing counselor. And I just think maybe that special line is important for you. Not every decision is a game changer. When you feel like you're in this heightened sense of alert, you may feel every decision is a life and death one. I just pray God would give you peace. It would settle into your soul. And that amazing counselor would lead you step by step. He will. Talking to Bo Stern today, her book is When Holidays Hurt. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to Bo Stern. She's written a beautiful book titled When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. And at the end of each chapter, she challenges you to find hidden hope by these just very simple exercises. Just before the break, we're talking about how God is our amazing counselor. Jesus will give us every step of the way as we trust him. And she says, write the name Amazing Counselor in your journal. And beneath it, list all the decisions you're facing in your battle or in your daily life. Then take a moment to share your list with him and ask him for miraculous help and wonderful counsel. If you feel up to it, then share your list with a friend who will join you in praying for the wisdom that you need. Just taking practical steps like that are just game changers, aren't they? I mean, when you cared for your soul, Bo, and you started to just engage with God in a very practical way, I mean, I would imagine that not only did he show up, but that you were changed in the process.
Absolutely. You can't not be changed in that kind of process. I think the question is just, what direction will you change?
Yeah.
And so for me, I just determined from the beginning, I don't want to end up stuck. I want to move forward. And so doing those little exercises, I know how hard it is for people who are in crisis or really buried under grief to be told to do something. That can feel exhausting. But the best thing I can say is that I wrote this book real time while I was in the Shadowlands. And so I really only asked people to do the things that I was pulling off at the same time, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that everyone has the same capacity, but I tried to make very small steps that could just say I've done something, and I need that kind of action in my life. I'm kind of a list person, so I needed to have something I could do. I had an invisible enemy, and it was hard to know how to fight ALS, but I did feel like I could fight getting stuck in sadness. And so these were just kind of the steps that I took along the way.
What was helpful, Bo, as far as friends and them reaching out to you, especially in the holiday season, and what wasn't helpful?
Some of the really helpful things, a group of my husband's friends showed up with their kids one day and just quietly and without any fanfare put lights all over my house.
Oh, man.
And it's just, I know, isn't that amazing? Like, who likes doing that? No one likes doing that. And it just changed my, I remember every family member, when they would come in, the door would be like, this is so great. This is so great. And, you know, lights on the house, there, that was never going to happen without somebody doing it. And I didn't ask them. They just thought of it. So that was really cool. People bringing meals, that was so cool. People who offered to help me get a tree when we got further down the road. Getting a tree can be it's such an iconic thing. You know, it's on all the Christmas cards, family, and people post their pictures on Facebook. And it's hard when you feel like it's such a big deal and it's hard to pull it off. So people helped me with things like that. What wasn't helpful? Gosh, I've got really good friends. People didn't do too many clunky things. and I would say there wasn't anything bad that anyone did, but there's some things where people like encourage you to, you know, think about the good things you have or, you know, and there's some things you can do on your own, but you don't really want to be told that by someone who you feel like maybe isn't going through the same thing. People who compare their story with yours, even when you have what looks like identical circumstances, that comparison thing is rough. It's hard to hear it. It almost sounds like someone's saying to you, yeah, been there, done that. And it feels invalidating sometimes. So I think those are some of the things that I usually caution people against.
Very good. Good advice. When you say one of the reasons that the baby in the manger is such a gift to us is that because his name means mighty God. And I thought this was so important. You said we tend to domesticate Jesus, especially during the holiday season. And start to think more about that. I'm thinking if we picture him only as a baby and forget to see him as the warrior that he is, we'll miss this aspect of his character about why he came. He's a fierce and mighty God. I mean, speak to that.
Yeah, because, you know, our two most prevalent visual images of Jesus in America are Jesus in the manger and Jesus on the cross. We celebrate Christmas and Easter. And so oftentimes we don't picture this victorious riding in to rescue us Jesus. And I talk about this a lot in Beautiful Battlefield, Psalm 18, where it just describes this very passionate, very angry God who is coming to save us from our enemies, and he does not let up. It's not like everybody gets a trophy. It's like, I'm going to protect the ones I love, and no one will stop me. And so one thing that I felt really strongly about was that ALS was an enemy of God, not just an enemy of Steve and not just an enemy of me. And I knew that God would deal the death blow to ALS and will, you know, did on the cross and does in the end. And so I had to trust him with that part of it, and then knowing that he would walk me through all of the fallout from that.
Bo, I remember you saying one of the other times you were on the show that something happened in Steve, though, as you know, that men wanted to be around him. Like God was doing such a deep work, even though he couldn't serve or speak or articulate the way he once did. There was some kind of transfer happening where God's presence was so on him and around him that others wanted to be with him. Do you remember you talking about that?
I do, and I so clearly remember it happening, people just coming to sit with him in our house, and he would kind of croak out the words that he could. We were really blessed because most people with ALS lose entirely their ability to speak, but Steve was still able to get some words out until the day he died.
Wow.
But there was this just a deep fountain of trust in Steve. He always was a man of great faith, but he became a man of great trust during that season. And you just couldn't sit with him without being humbled by the fact that he was trusting God for every next breath. And you'd have to just recontextualize the things you were worried about. because I'm like, oh, I'm worried about the bills, and he's trusting God for his breath and his life and his home in heaven. And it was just really lovely to watch how God just really ignited the true parts of him during that season and made him effective in ways he had never experienced before.
Mm. So, Bo, and only answer as much as you're comfortable, but after he passed and those days that followed, would love to know how God met you, just because I know that people are listening who are really fresh in the throes of grief right now.
Yeah, the first 2 months were horrible, really horrible. And it surprised me a great deal because I thought I had prepared so much. We were surprised that we had Steve as long as we did. And so I really felt like I was ready and prepared. But once he was gone, I also was very depleted, which you'll find most people going through crisis probably are depleted physically, maybe from lack of sleep or from illness or from caring for someone or from emotional fallout from a divorce. We just really, our bodies take a big hit. And I wish I would have known that going in, because it caused a lot of fear in my life, which compounded all the physical stuff I was facing. So those 2 months were really awful. And then I slowly started kind of feeling my way out of it. And it was like just every day I felt a little stronger, and every day I was able to do a little more and face a little more and think a little more clearly. And then I just remember some really specific times where the Holy Spirit landed and reminded me, you're still alive and you have to keep living, and there's a whole lot left for you. So that time was no joke. It was rough.
Mm. And here you stand, you know, made it through, and may that be a testament to those listening today. You know, God is with you. And yeah. I hope it's okay that you sit here and listen to me read your book, but I just have to because it's so beautiful. So you're about to be moved by your own words. Are you ready? But this is...
I'm ready. Yeah. Be with me.
And I expect you to go, oh, that was amazing after I read this. But this is from her chapter, He Came for Our Peace. Just so beautiful. Many elements of the Christmas season feel like peace. I love the lights on my tree at night and Christmas carols and sweet baby Jesus nestled in his bed and the nativity set. Many things, however, feel frenzied, especially if you are also in a season of battle or heartache, noise and schedules and shoppers, pressure to buy and wrap and bake and press in. And before you know it, the peace is gone from a holiday devoted to the Prince of Peace. When we take over Christmas with our own expectations and projections, we tend to move further into the chaos. When he takes over Christmas, he brings peace. Always. Today, I'm giving myself permission to spend some time with peace. I'm going to unplug everything but the lights on my tree and listen for the sound of his footsteps as he shows up to rescue me from the chaos the battle creates. I'm giving you permission too, because not only is peace in the midst of this season possible, it's essential. Welcome, Prince of Peace. What is the idea that Jesus is the Prince of Peace come to mean to you after what you've walked through, Bo?
Man, it's so big. I think I could live without almost anything except peace.
Amen.
When you have peace, you really have everything else. And I have come to value it more than anything. And I think that I've come to learn how to stop putting up with less than that. You know what
Amen.
I mean? Sometimes
yep.
we go through things thinking it has to be this way. It has to be this way because the circumstances of my life demand it. But really, I don't need my circumstances' permission to have peace, because he's guaranteed that one thing. He hasn't guaranteed circumstances, but he has guaranteed peace within them. And so that's really been a huge takeaway for me, because I think that the 5 years of ALS, that diagnosis and that process was truly for me my own personal worst case scenario. I'm not a caregiver, and I had to be all of Steve's care. And watching him lose his life an inch at a time and all of that, it was the worst case scenario. And so having been through that and know that God showed up in it all, I'm pretty confident in his ability to keep doing that.
Hmm. How do you access that peace when you feel yourself baited into chaos or the enemy's trying to lure you out of that hidden place? How do you get back there again?
Well, that's a big thing for me. And sometimes it used to be the word would be the the thing. I'd turn to the word and it would right away settle my heart. And somewhere along the line of all of this, it got really hard for me to focus in reading, or I was so depleted from taking care of Steve that I'd fall asleep all the time or try to, you know, keep going. And so now I usually will start with music, whether it's worship music or just something that's instrumental and calm and calming around me. And I truly do light a candle. I believe there's just some kind of peace happening there. And I try to create an environment around me that's peaceful, even if the circumstances in my life are not. And if I can't access it, then I call someone and I say, you got to help me find Jesus in all of this.
You know, I do exactly those same things, and it is amazing how they make such a difference. Boy, just being intentional. And there's such amazing worship music nowadays. Find some songs that minister to your heart and be intentional. Push everything else away and lean in. Talking to Bo Stern today, her book, When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. Email if you'd love it in the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the idea that Jesus came to multiply. He's a multiplier. We'll talk about with Bo Stern about that in just a moment. Really glad you tuned in today. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise, talking to Bo Stern. Her book is titled When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. We just wanted to identify and acknowledge that amidst all the happy commercials, and Christmas is a really beautiful time of year, I do remember some of our hardest times happened over the Christmas season. And so I have such a heart for those who are suffering this season, because it seems like everybody else's happiness and favor and health and whatever else they have mocks your pain because you can't relate. It feels like the contrast is so stark. And Bo is no stranger to that kind of a journey. She lost her husband to ALS after a 5-year battle. And this book is just the fruit of that time in the Shadowlands. And Bo, you write in your chapter, He Came to Multiply. You said, you may feel that you have nothing valuable to bring him, but that's okay. It turns out he needs only tears and ashes to create beauty and joy. He's so good at taking the dregs in our barrel and transforming them into something beautiful. I would love to know how you're different because of this battle. I mean, how do you suppose, as best as you can figure, that this thing has changed you?
Well, I think it's probably changed me primarily in the area of just being newly humble. You know, it's just humbling to live out a tragic story and feel like you're sort of are a tragedy to the watching world, and finding Jesus in the low places. And I'm so grateful for that. And I think it's made me way more compassionate than I've ever been, especially for people who are suffering something they didn't see coming. And then also it gives you credibility. I have credibility with the ALS community. I just absolutely would not have had I not experienced what they've experienced. And just trusting God for providing in the darkest moments. And it kind of recalibrates what darkest moments really look like. And so just all those things have been so good and strong and important for me.
Well, you write about that he came to multiply. So you gave him your pieces and he's putting them back together. How about even provision? Because tragedy, especially if you lose a spouse, you're affected emotionally, relationally. It changes how you show up with couples' relationships, but even financially. As much as, again, you're able, talk about how God's provision was there for you.
Yet I say this a lot to people. Crisis is expensive. It's almost always expensive. And so my husband retired, you know, 15 years ahead of schedule. We weren't in any way set up for it. I truly did not know how we would make it. And just so many surprising things along the way. God has just cared for us flawlessly. It's been amazing. And he has been there. And I can see these places where he went ahead and, you know, ordered things that we just didn't even know. There were insurance policies I didn't know we had that just came through after Steve died. And I, you know, it's just amazing things. And so he really has provided. I'm careful to talk about that only because not everyone has experienced that, and I believe that he's still a really good provider. But I do know that especially for lots of women who end up single unexpectedly for whatever reason, finances are such a big, big weight. And for people who care about single moms and single dads, that's a really big way to be helpful at Christmas time.
Boy, that's so good. I love this. You wrote, "We don't have to bring him perfect plans, perfect prayers, or perfect peace. We just bring him our own sad selves, and he does all the work." And that is one of the themes in this book, When Holidays Hurt, is that you realize that God does the heavy lifting, that he came to seek and save. He came to do the fighting and the carrying. And that when you're a responsible person, I would imagine, especially during a crisis, tragedy, or loss, that you feel like things feel heavier than they should because you feel more responsible than you should. And you've had to somehow learn a new way of leaning and depending, even though you're a responsible person. What did that look like for you?
Well, that's hard. And sometimes it looked like I run, and sometimes I'd be on a run and I would just have tears pouring. And I just would say to Jesus, "I am so sad and I don't know if I'll ever be happy again." And I remember his word back to me was always, "It's okay to be sad." And I think I felt for a long time that one of the things I had to fix was my sadness, that I had to find a way to feel happy or something wasn't working. And inside of all of this, I've learned, no, sadness comes and it's okay to lean into that a little. And usually those waves of great sorrow and grief last about 20 minutes for me. And as long as I can feel them and let them come, it's a little bit, this is kind of yucky, but it's a little bit like throwing up. You don't want to, and then you do and you feel better.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I just have to cry. I just have to really cry hard. I'll think about a hard memory and just cry my way through it, and I feel so much better when it's done. But that was part of not having to muscle my way into happiness. Letting him carry me there has been a way more effective strategy. You'd think I'd be better at it by now, but I usually go the wrong way first.
Wow, that's amazing. You said this, unless we can fully trust his greatness, we'll always be tempted to fall back on our own good ideas, our own muscle in seasons of battle. The holiness of his name and the sovereignty of his will trumps all other winning and losing. It levels every playing field, fills every dip in the road, and heals every heart. He doesn't do good things, only great things. So we can rest in the knowledge that his love will prevail and the long nights will bow to fresh mornings. Holy is his name, perfect are his plans, and in this we will rejoice. So what I hear you saying, and I know it's true, that it is possible even in the midst of deep loss and heartache this season for those, or maybe someone's listening and they're just in a place of disappointment. They've lost a job or a relationship's fallen apart. He is still the Prince of Peace in those messy places, and you can access that, can't you?
Yeah, I believe you can. I really do. And I mean, I want to cry listening to you read that because I haven't read it in so long. And I just see it has played out in my life, and it's been so lovely. Not that the circumstances all came together or worked out perfectly, but his peace worked out perfectly.
His peace worked out perfectly. Well, we're going to pause and pray now. And just I'd love for you, Bo, to pray for the person who is listening today, who's in that place of grief and heartache and just needs their chin tilted up. Wondering if you'd pray for that person.
Absolutely. Jesus, we love you, and we don't need to even magnify your name because it's bigger than we can already imagine. And so we ask that your name would become small enough for us to take it in, to understand what it means to us, to understand what your birth changed for us. Thank you for coming to show us God in the hardest places. Thank you for showing up when the night is so dark and when the road feels so long and when our legs feel so weak. Father, I ask for strength today for everyone who feels they are without, that they feel empty, that they feel broken. I ask that you would come and you would show them that your plans for them are whole and good and beautiful. Cause them to be able to think on those things. We love you and we trust you because you're the only one we've got, and we give you glory for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Appreciate you both so very much. I want to thank you for stewarding your story the way you have so you can bless and help others. And I do wish you just the most beautiful, blessed holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
You are a treasure. And I'm waiting for that next book to come out of you. So get going. No, I'm just kidding. But I will be waiting. God bless you, honey.
Bless you, too.
Good to chat with you. That was Bo Stern. Title of her book is When Holidays Hurt, Finding Hidden Hope Amid Pain and Loss. And I want you just to have a moment here to hear the song Bleak Midwinter. Maybe you just need to hear it. And I'm just going to say, guys, I'm talking to you, too. You might need a good cry. You know, as she said, it's healing. It's actually good for your physiology. It's good for your soul and your heart. If you've encountered some loss this holiday season, some disappointment, if you're just plain worn out from battle, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He is with you. He's Emmanuel. That's what Christmas is about. I want you to just enter in and let him speak to those places in your heart right now, okay? If you're battle weary, if you're grieving, he is with you. Listen into this song. I pray that was a blessing to you today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Hey, friend, we are in this together, and God is with you, so don't give up hope. And we'll meet you back here next time.